Becky goes to the Great Hill Community Garden to find out how it has been transformed from tarmac to a magical garden for the local community. She talks to gardener Joe Rice and wood carver Patrick Woodall.
My name's Becky Sweet, and I'm spending a lovely sunny afternoon in the Grapes Hill Community Garden, which is in the centre of Norwich. It's tucked away behind the St Benedict's View business units at the bottom of Grapes Hill, not far from the Reindeer Pub, 10 Dereham Road. I am with Joe Rice, who's very kindly agreed to do this interview for us. And Joe, tell us about your role here, please.
Hello, I'm Joe Rice, and I'm the part-time paid gardener for Grapes Hill Community Garden. And I've been with the project since the beginning, when the ideas for it first came about.
So you can tell us a bit about how it started.
Well, at the very beginning, it was some members of Valentine Street, which backs onto the garden. The area behind their houses was originally just tarmacked over an old playground site, which was fenced off and not being in use for several years. So they had an idea of it becoming a planting space for the community, which they arranged with the council, but we had to get funding as well. I wasn't involved at the very, very beginning. I read an article in the newspaper, which was written by Fran, who was the secretary of our group, and she was asking basically for people in the area who wanted to be involved in the project.
You have visitors, volunteers, mm-hmm. and members. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a bit about those and what you offer them?
So we have volunteers which come every other Sunday. We have a volunteers afternoon, which is 2 till 4, and I'm on hand to help people identify weeds, and they can do a bit of weeding. I give them a tour of the garden, talk about the plants. And the people who decide to become members quite often hire our raised beds, because we've got 9 raised beds, and there's 4 large ones and 5 smaller ones. And people who live in the area, lots of them live in flats and don't have their own growing space, so they tend to their own little plot here.
Quite a few of them, I think, grow vegetables for themselves.
Yes, mainly it's edibles that we have here. So we have lots of herbs, we have fruit trees, fruit bushes, but people who have the beds grow smaller things that are annual things, things that won't go over. Unless sometimes people will hire a bed several years in a row, but sometimes we have people change. At the end of the year, we have new bookings for the beds, so we have different people take them over.
And they're a lovely compromise, because it's not as challenging as having an allotment.
Yeah, it's not too much space to deal with, yeah. And they're raised, so you don't have too many problems with things like slugs and snails. We have people growing beans, radishes. At the moment, you can see there's lots of radishes, there's broad beans in, herbs, onions.
Good for people who can't work on their knees or bend down very much,
that's right.
Imagine.
They're wheelchair accessible, especially these ones at the top here. They're easy to get to. Yeah, we have 2, actually, wheelchair users who use these beds.
Brilliant. Yeah. It must be lovely for them.
And they're low enough for children to reach as well, so that's good. Yeah.
But it isn't just Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoons. You're open every day, aren't you?
Oh, yes, the garden's open to the public every day. So there's people who are key holders on Valentine Street, so they open it up early in the morning, and it's not closed until the evening when it gets dark. So it's a bit earlier in the winter it closes, and then open till quite late in the summer. And also next month in April, I'll be starting the family group on Wednesday afternoons, and also there'll be a volunteer session before that as well. So I'll do 2 hours with volunteers on the Wednesday, and then another 2 hours with the family group in the afternoon. So that'll be every Wednesday from the 17th onwards.
From the 17th of April?
Yeah.
So this gives people the opportunity to bring their children to learn about gardening. Mm. Oh, that would be wonderful.
It is lovely, yes. We did the first one last year, and it was really enjoyable. But that was a shorter stretch of time. This year it's going to be 23 weeks, so we can see more food, you know, more variety of plants through from planting to harvesting. Because last time we had to have a short break, and then we had a reunion where we did harvesting of things that had grown,
yes.
You know, things like sweet corn and things that they came back to harvest later in the year. Yeah,
but wonderful.
Yes, I'm looking forward to doing it again. Yeah,
My granddaughter would like to be a gardener.
Oh, excellent.
She wants 11 children and to be a gardener. So I might well take out membership for the family to be with you.
Brilliant.
Yes. Yeah. But you do a lot of special events.
Mm-hmm. We have various events throughout the year. Yeah.
Some of it's entertainment and not gardening.
Mm, we have music days. We had Celebration of International Culture several years running.
Yes.
Last year we had One Man Macbeth by Simon Floyd.
Oh, right.
Which was amazing. That was an evening event.
So yes.
We had it all candlelit down the pathway and seating on the patio bit, and he was in the back bit there doing his all the parts of Macbeth himself. Yeah, it was amazing.
So really people need to come to your website to check, or your Facebook page.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's always updated. And also there will soon be an Instagram page as well, which I've got to set up.
Right.
It's on my list of things to do.
A little different from planting, but yes, yeah. It should be fun to do.
I'm a photographer as well, so I do
oh, right.
Photography in the garden.
Well, I did see some lovely photographs on your Facebook page, so congratulations on that.
Thanks, yeah, most of those are mine.
And people can hire it to put on their own special events, I believe.
Mostly it's ours. Yeah, so there is an availability sometimes for that. Yeah, there is a possibility. Yeah. Yes, so it is. We have the next one coming up. Next event we have coming up is Nature in the Garden.
Yes.
On the 5th of May, and we have Wild Encounters. The Wild Encounters group, who are a charity for birds of prey, and they have hawks and owls.
Wow.
And they come every year, so they're brilliant. Yeah, they go on the grass area at the end with a gazebo, and
yes,
people have a chance to hold hawks and owls. I've held a raven actually a couple of years
oh
ago.
I love ravens.
Yeah, that's amazing. And a small burrowing owl.
Yes.
And another owl, two owls I've held, but it's a lovely experience. Yeah.
So these are all good income generators. Tell me about how you raise your funds.
Well, we're not really a profit-making charity, really. We do have a certain amount of income from various events, but really these people come along and do their own thing. They take money for them, you know, for their own companies or business, you know, what they're doing, their projects.
Yes.
Really, we don't have that many opportunities to... Well, we don't choose to because we're non-profit-making, so
yes,
we don't actually... We obviously have income from the raised beds. That's
yes,
that's for maintenance of the garden, really. You know,
but you have quite a good range of sponsors, I think.
Yeah, we have sponsors. We just, I mean, and we were lucky to have the lovely Rhino greenhouse, which we're standing in, was donated. I think it's on long-term donation, so it's actually really great because we didn't have to pay for it. But we've had sponsorship, obviously, for the... At the beginning, with the hard,
because
it all had to be. There was a lot of work needed to be done at the very beginning with the fencing, because we just had loose wire fencing, and so we got more solid fencing put in, and the raised beds were fitted out, and the and we had donated topsoil from the market when the market was renovated.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they stored some topsoil over on Mousehold Heath for a year, and then we were able to use that. But the trouble is, we found once we laid it on the garden, it was full of bindweed, so we did
have... Oh, that must have caused you some work.
Many, many months of clearing out bindweed, yes, which I think we've got on top of now, mostly.
That's
good.
We've
got other weeds to contend with now.
Well, it's very good of you to talk to me. So now I'm talking to Patrick Goodhall, who's kindly agreed to talk to me for a few minutes about his contribution to the garden. Patrick, you're a woodcarver.
Yes, that's something I've learnt to do over the years. It's not a medieval trade like it used to be, but I think I've got inside the head of a medieval person in terms of turning wood into cartoon-like shapes, because that's basically... if you look at the misericords in the Norwich Cathedral, they are the most incredible, humorous representations of everyday life in medieval times. And they're very risky. And they got away with it because it was the medieval form of cartoon.
Really? Risky, what, politically? Or?
It was all out there, you know. They would not be worried about showing parts of the human anatomy that are considered to be lurid now. It wasn't lurid in those days, it was just a matter of course.
Yes. So coming back to the garden, how did you become involved?
Well, Fran, bless her, we were parents together at Higham Park, and she knew I did landscaping because I laid out the garden at the school.
Right.
From a plan done by another parent, interestingly. So, having done that, I suppose that she thought that I might like to get involved in this, and bless her, because, you know, I've really enjoyed being on board here. It's been absolutely fantastic, and it still is. And look at it now. You wouldn't believe this was the way it is now, having just seen an area of car park like it is just behind us there.
Yes.
By the, and that's exactly how it was.
Covered in tarmac, I believe.
Covered in tarmac.
Yes.
And, you know, a nondescript area for parking cars. And this area was actually used for dog walkers, and there were kids used to play here. And that's about all, really. There were a few play structures, I think, here, sort of pipes that people could walk through or something, and they've disappeared.
And so here, tell me about the work that you've installed here for us, please.
Well, as soon as they got to know that I worked in wood, they asked me to do some benches, so I came up with my own design of bench, which has stood the test of time, even though they've been there, getting on for since 2009, is it?
Oh, that's good.
So that's about 9 years, but some of them, they're all different woods, so some of them last better than others. There's one particular one over there which is not good, and that's learning by the process of, you know, discovery, really.
What weathers well and what doesn't.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we discovered that chestnut wood is very, very good outside. It's hardly any different from what it was. And elm is okay, but it's one of those woods that survives best underground, ironically.
I didn't know that. And some of the other work? There is a marvellous piece over there you were talking about just now.
Well, they commissioned me to do the sculpture, I was asked to do the original artist's impression for this garden. It doesn't look much like my original artist's impression, I'm probably a bit relieved to say, because it had a mountain range in there somewhere. a mountain range, because I thought that was a good kids' scrambling area.
Yes.
Because kids do get left out of designs very often.
But you have put in some wooden posts for
kids. I put in the wooden posts, and that works very well, because it is a game. You learn the woods by saying what the letter at the top of the wood stands for, and then when you've got it, you move on to the next one.
Oh, right.
And so it's a learning process, and I think that gets, you know, that grabs kids, because it's a challenge.
Yes.
And the sculpture is a man's relationship with nature. It's got a man and a woman there doing a dance around the drum of the hollow cherry tree, which was just basically abandoned at the back of a farmer's barn. And I said, you're not going to cut that up a firewood, are you? And he said, yes. So I said, well, could I buy it off you? So I bought three hollow cherry trees, which are probably getting on for 100 years old, and you're not going to burn an antique, are you, really?
No.
So that's what that was my take on man's relationship with nature, you know, giving with one hand, but very much under the thumb of, or the fist in this instance, of Mother Nature, because that's Mother Nature on the other side. And it works as a fountain, and it's actually not out of commission at the moment, because they're going to put a beam that you break between two points, and when you break the beam, the pump kicks into action.
Oh, and the
also,
fountain.
There'll be lights which will light up.
Yes.
So, you know, there'll be a strong sensory aspect there, the sound of the water going down the wood. And also, of course, wood does mix with water, funnily enough. So when you have water running down the surface of wood, it actually brings out the colour.
Of course,
it turns it from a dry-looking object into a nice glistening object. So you're trying to reproduce what you'd see in stone, really, and it is organic material, so it's not going to be there forever. So it'll stop it cracking if you keep it wet. And
right.
I'm not the only sculptor who says that. I mean, there are other people I've talked to, and they constantly spray their sculptures because they're worried about cracking. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good idea.
It's absolutely true. So that's what that's all about. And
you have plans for it, I believe, for when it does perhaps come to the end of its life.
I think if I had the money, I would actually like to get a bronze cast of it.
Yes.
Because that's not going to last forever, and it's sufficiently okay.
Mm.
You know, I have to say I did it.
And it's beautiful.
It took a lot of effort, actually. I mean, you know, I had to work with the contours of the wood. So,
yes.
You know, you'll get that reproduced in bronze if you're lucky. And I found someone who, you know, is prepared to do it. And
then we just
need a price.
Yes.
Because it would be nice. It's the only sculpture I've got up in a public space.
Right.
Because I don't put myself out there very much.
No, but you do sell. You are a professional.
I do sell. I sold a people's throne out of the forum last year. Everybody sat on it. That was the idea.
Yes.
It was very off the wall because everything else was on the wall because it was all pictures.
Yes.
But this you could actually participate in. You could sit there and you could
feel
it.
Oh, that's nice. It's lovely there wasn't a notice on it saying, please don't touch.
And absolutely. You know, which there would be in a National Trust property, you know, string across it saying, please do not sit. Yeah. No, that wasn't the idea at all. And so many people sat on it. So that's where we're coming from. It's got to have some participatory aspect about it, I think, to make a statement that it's not just a preserve and it's not just of the art kingdom. It's actually, you know, it's functional and it's, you can participate in it and you can, you know, interact with it, really.
Well, that's your work sounds wonderful, and I hope the funds do arrive for you. I mean, for the sake of our listeners, I will say that donations can be made to the garden via the CAF Bank and also by Amazon Smile. So we shall hope this works.
I'll probably have to do my own fundraising. I think this is my idea. No one has said, oh, we need that in bronze. But I'm
sure they'd be delighted. And the sun here is so wonderful. It would look extraordinary. Yes.
Yes. I mean, it does, you know, wood can look like stone or bronze. I've got one at home, which is, it's mulberry. It's quite an unusual wood. And it actually, you know, it's gained a patina, which makes it look quite metallic.
Oh, right.
When it's got certain waters on it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure. I'll get back to the wood avens now, which is taking over certain parts of the garden.
Well,
I think I've dug so many wood avens out.
Well, good luck with that, and thank you.
Yeah.
Becky was speaking to Joe Rice and Patrick Woodall about the Grapes Hill Community Garden.